Well, this is the Life Involved podcast. We give your game life, and we have somewhat of a rivalry game this week. Yeah, I have to say it that way. Brent Tuthill with me. It's an exciting time, though. 7-0 Michigan takes on 7-0 Michigan State. Look, not a lot of people thought this was going to happen. They thought there was just no way both teams would be good this year. It was one of the first years in a long time on the Michigan end. The expectations were pretty low. And I think everybody on the Spartan end thought they were going to absolutely suck this year. So, look, we get here and we're 7-0. Brent, I'm surprised. I mean, I just thought, you know, we would come in at Michigan. I thought they'd lose at Wisconsin preseason. I thought from what I seen last year, I was worried about Washington. And I really thought coming into the game there would be anywhere from 4-3 to 5-2. Did you have that type of expectation for Michigan, or were you more like, no, I think we'll just rebound?
No, absolutely. 5-2 seemed very realistic. Washington was supposed to compete for the Pac-12. Wisconsin was supposed to be a front runner, and both teams got handled, and they're turning out to have tough seasons. But I'm very surprised Michigan State being 7-0, because when the season started, they were playing Miami at Miami. Like, oh, that's a tough game. And then Miami turns out to be terrible. And started up with Northwestern at Northwestern, and Northwestern turns out to be terrible. So there's just a lot going on, and everybody's getting beat by somebody or getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising they're both undefeated.
Well, there's no question. I mean, you made good points. Look, Miami, they're a nothing. Northwestern clearly is not the same team. They lost too many guys. Northwestern has capabilities to compete, you know, because Fitzgerald gets his guys to fight hard. Look, I thought Northwestern played really well last weekend. I mean, it came down to Michigan was just far too strong for them. I thought defensively they did a great job with the corners. You know, we could not complete a deep pass, which we have reasons why, and we'll get to that eventually. But look, just to talk about this game, Michigan's a better team. Michigan's the better overall team. I'm hearing a lot of people say a lot of things. Let me just make this very clear. Michigan is a better all-around football team than Michigan State. I will give those reasons later. The problem with this rivalry, and I'm just going to say it, and it's been like this since we've been alive, Brent. Michigan State will always take this game more serious than Michigan. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. Michigan has a situation mentally where they say, we just got to beat State. Michigan State is, you know, that's the most important game. You know, it's everything to us. We win it. We win the Paul Bunyan Trophy. We keep Paul home nice and nestled. I think the Michigan people, all the people I know, especially living out here, they're like, God, that trophy's ugly. You know, even Lloyd Carr said it. God, that trophy was ugly, but you wanted that ugly trophy because you didn't want to hear about it for 365. I mean, it was so true watching that documentary a few years ago, Brent.
Yeah, well, I mean, the matter of fact of it is, if Michigan State wins the game, they don't care what happens next. That's it. They won their season. The way we look at our season is, okay, we have to get through this game to be contenders, right? Like, we just have to get by them, get the win, and move on. Because everybody and their brother knows, if you're a Michigan fan, you're looking at that team from Columbus, right? Because how many times does it come down to who won that game wins the Big Ten? And most of us, almost 99% of us, still feel that way. So, like, it's just one of those things where, yeah, we want to win, but we really don't care about you. We want to win as in, like, you're a Northwestern, you're Wisconsin. Like, yeah, we want to beat you because we don't want to hear it for a year. But at the end of the day, we care about being that team that we've been struggling to beat for years now. And, yes, I know you can make the argument, oh, Michigan State's got a better record over so-and-so. That's great. We are the better football team. And our season doesn't rely on this game. And that has given Michigan State an edge, because this makes or breaks their season. It does.
So absolutely. And the thing about it is, this is the way I describe it now. Michigan State has improved. Mark D'Antonio did a great job. He turned it around. He used that game as a springboard. He also beat some teams that weren't very good at Michigan, and that helped. Michigan had a coaching change, which, you know, helped him dramatically. I mean, I'm just going to say, look, I don't want to do the what-if game, but what if Lloyd Carr stays? I have a hard time believing Mark D'Antonio has the same success. I'm sorry, guys, but I think he capitalized on Rich Rodriguez being a terrible fit at Michigan. I think he capitalized on Brady Hoke just not being a great coach. And I think they gained momentum and Michigan State became cooler. I talk about this with Tyler, and he gets so mad, and the Spartan people, they say, well, what does cooler matter? Cooler is recruiting, man. That's what cooler is. If you're a cooler program or you're a trending program, people start talking about it. You get better players and you start winning. And I think when Jim Harbaugh came, it was cool again. Like, oh, Michigan's got a guy that played in the NFL. He played there. He was in a Super Bowl. People start talking about Michigan. And the last thing I'll say before we really break down the game is, look, Michigan State hasn't won enough big things for Michigan people to say, not only are we losing to our rival, but they're winning multiple championships per year. Ohio State doesn't only just beat us, they go to the college football playoff. So it's even more like, okay, that was always our rival from the back in the day stuff, but they're always winning big things when they beat us. Michigan State don't do that. Michigan State last year was celebrating that win. They were 2-4 last year. They sucked. So did we, but how many years, Tyler, were we – or Tyler, Jesus, sorry. I'm so sorry for offending you.
Come on.
How many – yeah, I get so animated about this. I get so mad because, you know, Michigan State people are talking to a wall. You know, they just don't – you know, there's just nothing there. It's there. You know, it's just – it's nothing. Absolutely nothing talking to Michigan State people. They're oblivious to everything. Just a bunch of specks that are sitting there on the wall with no normal response, just nothing. That's the way I think of these people because they've lost their minds when it comes to what the reality is. The reality is your basketball program wins a lot. So when we beat you guys, it means a hell of a lot more. In football, it's like, oh, great. We got to hear about these yahoos rubbing it in our face for 364 more days, and their football program won't do anything. They'll get smacked by someone. They might lose the next week to Purdue or whoever they play. It's happened so many times, Brent. You know this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, yep, Michigan State made the playoffs, and they got embarrassed by Alabama. But they made it, right? I mean, we haven't made the college football playoffs, so, I mean, credit where credit's due, but in those games where they get embarrassed on national TV in front of the world, they don't play with the same heart and intensity they have for this game coming up on Saturday. And which drives you nuts because it's like, why wouldn't you play harder in the college football playoffs? Like, that's what you're playing for. You're not playing to beat Michigan, even though, like I already said, it makes their season. It really does. We're trying to get back to where we belong, and that's winning a Big Ten championship and finally getting to the college football playoffs. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that it kind of drives you nuts because, like, well, people are saying that it's a Super Bowl for Michigan. No, it's not. It's not. We have a much bigger game coming up at the end of November.
Yeah, I want to make sure we get to the most important stuff, even though this, we feel the same way. I'll ask you one more question. When you go into this game though, because this is how I feel, I don't know how you feel. I hate this game. I hate this game because I just feel like we need to just go out there and pound them. Right. I always feel that way every year. Like, we're just better. Right. You should beat these guys. They don't do anything spectacular. I watched them play against Indiana. I'm thinking if they play like that against us, we're up 3 touchdowns to start the game. But for some reason, it doesn't happen. My question is, do you feel the same way? Like, when this week comes, you just dread it, kind of.
Especially this year, I'm not looking forward to it because of Cade's inability to score touchdowns in the red zone. Like, I'm worried, right? Because State's defense isn't bad. It's pretty good. But more or less, what's going to come down to is Cade going to lead Michigan down for touchdowns or field goals. And we all know field goals don't win games. They don't.
Right.
They let the other team be in it. They held us to three, and then here comes a big hard play action, naked bootleg rolling out, and throws a bomb to Naylor Reed. That's my biggest fear, is that one play they can take the lead or make it a game. And, you know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks where Michigan has, they've given up a couple of big plays here and there, a couple of times against Nebraska, the run against Northwestern. It's open, and with the focus being on Walker, a hard bootleg or a hard play action bootleg by Thorne could be trouble. I mean, hopefully he rolls out to Hutchinson's side so he murders him and we move on. But
Suplex City, baby. Do I have to replay the Nebraska game? Well, I think that guy was that Lawrence Phillips? Oh, sorry. Lawrence Phillips just picked up Thorne and said, back to prison we go. I mean, dude, that was, oh my gosh. Did I, by the way, I probably offended some people there. I think Lawrence Phillips murdered someone. I'm pretty sure. Didn't he go to prison for like life or something? I think he did.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. If anyone listens this long, I apologize for anything that offends anyone. Look, Lawrence Phillips did something really bad, but I'm pretty sure the guy, Phillips, was the guy that sacked Thorne. Me and Brett talked about this for 2 weeks. He basically picked up Thorne after the whistle and said, oh, I'm taking you to where the Rock used to take people. Wham! And, dude, it was hilarious. And we just thought it was so much fun. To stay on that topic, I talked about this in a prepper earlier. I think this game will be very similar to the Nebraska-Michigan State game, where Nebraska physically won a lot of battles in the trenches. I think we've seen both teams play Nebraska. There's a lot of similarities on both ends. I think their defense mirrors Michigan State's a lot. It's pretty physical. They don't give up a ton of big plays. But I think what Michigan did in that game is they proved we're a lot stronger than you guys up front. They were able to run the ball and pass the ball. I think Michigan's offense, that was Josh Gattis' best game he called as a coordinator at Michigan. He was really able to, you know, mix the run with the pass. They got downfield a little bit. Cade looked really comfortable. They had good route trees there. Talk about that game because it's very similar, Brent, where, look, Michigan was really successful against Nebraska's defense. Do you think it could be kind of the same if they play, if they call the game the same way they did that game?
Well, first and foremost, I think we'll have better running success against Michigan State in the first half than we did against Nebraska. The offensive line is just blowing people up. And as I've talked to you before, Eric All is just being a man and driving people 10 yards downfield out of bounds. It's so much fun to watch. My concern is the same concern against we had it with Nebraska in the first half with, okay, here we go. We get into the red zone. Oh, we're settling for a field goal. Or Cade throws a deep ball to Sandersteel, and he has to dive instead of Cade airing it out so he can walk in for a touchdown. Then we have to settle for another field goal. That's my biggest concern. Gattis did great that game because he was mixing things up. And in the second half, Cade made some throws. But I don't know, man. Like, when you watch these games, even Northwestern, I mean, I called it to my wife. It was like 3rd and 5. I go, here comes a 4-yard pass. I mean, luckily, on that particular play, Eric All caught it across the middle, broke 2 tackles, and got the first down. But I don't know. I feel like Gattis is losing trust in Cade, or Cade doesn't want to take the shots ever since throwing his one interception against Nebraska. So my question to you is, how do you get that confidence back in him? Because he was just throwing checkdowns all game. And when he did throw it deep, it's like he was trying to be safe and just put it uncatchable. So how do you get the confidence back in your quarterback?
Well, for me, it's simple. I mean, number nine just plays more. I mean, I just yep. think with this group of receivers, without Ronnie Bell, they're really good at times, but there's just not a guy that can get open really easily. So McNamara has to be perfect at times, and he's just not. He's not elite as a quarterback. So you look at the downfield stuff, like he had a couple throws, and the announcers were saying last week, you know, that's just not the right placement of the ball. Well, a really good receiver might have went up there and made a play, right? And we just don't have that right now. So what McCarthy is able to do is he's able to extend a play a little longer, so it gives the receiver more time to get open. It's very simple why he's more, you know, the guy we need. Like, just he's just a better quarterback. He provides more for this offense. And I just think in this game, Brent, there's got to be a situation where I said this earlier when I was going solo. I think they need to give him a whole drive. Like, they need to have a, like, four or five plays set up that they're going to run for sure for him. And they need to do a quick RPO, throw over the middle, or maybe get him on an RPO where it looks like he's taken outside and then he throws it right over the middle for 25 yards. They need to have a couple designs set up for him. And if they can be successful with one whole drive with him and they score a touchdown, it's a wrap. It's an absolute wrap, because what's going to happen is now Michigan State is sitting there going, oh, my God, what do we do? How do we defend this? We don't know. And then it can go back to the running game. And they can still play Cade. Like, I made this point, Brent, and I think you'll like this. Why can't we do the opposite? Play JJ more and bring Cade in sometimes. Like, Cade knows the offense. Let's run our basic stuff. But, hey, on this drive, this is JJ's drive. I mean, is that ridiculous to think that? I don't think it is.
No, he should be getting full series because, okay, let's look at next year. You have J.J. McCarthy as a sophomore. You have Cade as a senior. Are you really going to put J.J. on the bench again next year? No, you're absolutely not. He's too good of a player. That's why he's already getting some reps here and there. He needs full series to really develop and lead the offense. Now, to answer your question, if I got JJ in, I don't want Cade in the game. I don't want him in the game. Right. And he's not a bad quarterback, but he just plays too safe. Like, if my quarterback goes 20 of 28 with 285, two touchdowns and a pick, and he ran the ball for 70 yards, I don't care about the pick. You did enough to win the game alone, right? Because – JJ's young, he's inexperienced, he's got a strong arm, he's very confident in his arm. There might be a couple situations where he forces the ball because he believes his arm can make the play. I want to take those risks downfield. I want my quarterback to be able to do the read option and read it correctly. And, I mean, you saw against Northwestern, even when he handed the ball off on the read option, the end and the corner just stayed there to make sure that McCarthy didn't keep. You just took two guys out of the play.
It was running room that we do not normally see. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful, Brad. Like, I'm sitting here going, why are we taking him out? I mean, we have a very, like, Michigan fans, we have a great running game. We really do. We've got two running backs that are different, but are both incredibly effective. We got Corum, who is super quick, makes one cut, and bang, he's gone. We got Haskins, who can drag it outside or inside, make one cut, and he'll bully you. We have two really good running backs. We have a very experienced offensive line, a lot of guys that have played a lot of football. What we need is a quarterback who can run that offense and does two things. It's so simple. He needs to run and pass. The problem right now, and I don't like to do the debate show, like someone says, you know, and that's why I just can't handle the Spartans, especially this week. It's not a debate. Look, these are things that we see and we talk about. I play a new game called Wonder What Jim and Josh Are Thinking. And this is what they have to be thinking, Brent. Okay, Cade, we're winning. What will it do to our team if we take them out when we won? That's got to be there a little bit. The next thing's got to be, we've talked about this as coaches, maybe there's something in practice that JJ just doesn't play great in practice. That's probably a little bit part of it. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's a no-brainer what I've seen on the field in games. But do you think there's a little bit of this, maybe JJ in practice just doesn't know what the hell he's doing? I can't imagine, because it's not a very complex offense, but do you think it might be that, or is what else could it be, Brent, where they just say we can't play him more than what we're playing him?
I think part of it is, you know, all the talks about JJ having a bad spring And so they just felt safer going with Cade. Now, here we are, late October, and whenever he goes into the game, the ball moves downfield. Yeah. Okay, I can't believe he's practicing bad, because in the biggest stage, he is running for 25 yards. He's rolling out, pulling a Patrick Mahomes and spinning around, going around, throwing a dart of a 7-yard pass on 4th and 4. Like, if you can do that in a game where it matters most, I don't understand why you couldn't do it in practice. And all the reports about the kid is that he is team first. He's a leader as a freshman. I mean, he's not a team captain, but he's coming out and he talks about how much he loves Michigan and loves the coaches and he loves growing and he loves getting better. So what about that says that he's doing bad in practice? Like, it's all the coaches, all the media say that he loves this school. He loves the opportunity to grow. Kids like that don't do bad in practice. Kids like that excel because they want to get on the field. So I don't know. I personally was very, very disappointed, because we had the bye week. Then we were playing a lesser Northwestern team, which would have been the perfect game to start him after the bye week to get him in there, get him a couple series, right? If you want to still give Kate a chance, that's the game to do it. And then we don't do it. It's like, Jimmy, what are you doing? Get your stud on the field.
Mick Harbaugh. I mean, you set me up. Look, this is what it is. This is a different world that we're in today, too. Like, back in the 90s, no, this is bad. This is bad. But I brought up something, and I posted it on our other platform, where I thought this was very similar to 1999. You know, just try to spice it up to get people excited. Clearly, you know, because there's a Spartan platform, they don't understand football, really, so they didn't get it. They probably forgot they won the game because they just don't know what the hell's going on. But that game was the same type of situation where you got two undefeated teams. Clearly, Michigan State's not nearly as good as that team was. And clearly, McNamara is not nearly as good as Tom Brady. I get that. But the situation's the same. You've got two quarterbacks in Michigan right now that both could start. It was the same deal in 99. You go into that game. And by the way, Henson had a huge play in that game, I think. I think he had an 80-yard bomb. And he played pretty well, but he just wasn't moving the ball, and then he had the pick. I think there's always that little worry with the staff. This is just my opinion, of course. I think they have this worry that JJ might do something stupid. I really do. I think there's a little bit of that. He's young. He hasn't been in the moment. My argument to myself to that is, what has Cade really done, though? I mean, he hasn't really been in a lot of environments. I mean, they didn't have any fans last year. He has not been on the road at Michigan State yet, so he doesn't know how that's like. He really doesn't understand also. That's why I think it's even something more where you're like, why don't we just play the kid who doesn't have that much less experience technically? So I think for this game, this is I would love that this happened. I do think they might do something, though, this game, where I think they'll play in the same. I think it won't be a situation where they try to play him a series, but I do think they'll add a wrinkle, and I think JJ is going to have a touchdown pass. I think he's going to – they think, oh, he's the running quarterback now, right? I think they've been setting it up where they think, oh, it's just JJ the runner, when he's the better passer. So
by
I
far.
Think they'll by far. They'll design a pass play. And I think he'll complete it over the middle, and I think it'll be a touchdown. I think they're setting it up. Keith does a great job of throwing it back. We know that. Go back to the Western Michigan game. He throws it across the field 60 yards. So he clearly has the arm strength to do it. I think this will be an RPO where he's running right, and I think he'll throw it right over the middle to an open Eric All for like a 30-yard touchdown or something. I think they'll run that. I see that happening. These are obviously scenarios that are on our dream world where me and Brent would be freaking out and probably going crazy on Messenger over this. But I think it's going to happen, Brent. I mean, I think that this has to happen also for them to win. It's not the fact that Michigan State's that great. I just think that they're going to play really well. This is who they are. They come into this game. They're going to take the lid off the top. You know how they are. They're going to come out, guns a-blazing. They might throw seven times in a row. They're thinking there's no way we can run on these guys. We're going to just throw it, or they might do a trick play to start the game. That's how those guys are. They've been that way, period, this year. So they're definitely going to be that way against Michigan. It backfired against Indiana. I seen a lot in that game, because I want to talk about Sparty now, Brent. I seen a lot in that game where I said, ooh, they are not that good. They physically got dominated by Indiana, and Indiana basically said, we are not going to give you those big plays. You're going to have to push us down the field. And they stayed in their lanes. We talked about this in the Nebraska game. Walker won't have the jump cut stuff. They'll stay in their lanes. They'll stay home, and their push will be too good. Let's talk about Sparty. I mean, I think Michigan's defense can contain them, but we know they're going to come out firing on all cylinders, Brent.
Yeah, they are. And if they were smart, they'd go hard play action, first play of the game, try to take the top right off. But Indiana, Nebraska has shown you the blueprint of how to stop this team, right? Because it's not a very good offensive line. I mean, you say what you want. It's the first group, the second group. I know they play 10 guys. No, you only play 10 guys if you suck. So
it sucks.
It sucks. It does. So I expect Michigan's D-line and linebackers to be able to contain Walker. Unless Walker breaks one for 70 yards, there's no way he gets 100 yards. Like it's just not going to happen. He's going to fight, scratch, and claw on 2 yard gains. You know, he's a very good back, but we've seen against Nebraska and Indiana where that line gave him nothing, and they haven't given him anything all year. And Michigan's going to be disciplined. They're going to stay in their gaps. Josh Ross, Colson, Hill Green, they're all going to come in. Dax Hill, they're going to come in. Hawkins, they're going to light him up. And it's going to be – he's going to be hit very, very hard. This is one of my favorite Michigan defenses in the aspect of how hard they hit guys. So what happens is when Walker's eliminated from the equation, Peyton Thorne has been exposed and not been able to make – consistent throws. Yep, he'll make a good flea flicker pass because you know they're gonna run one or two of those. He's got a pretty good deep ball, which has turned out well for them in most games. But where Peyton Thorne has struggled is the same area that Cade McNamara has struggled in, making the routine easy throws. And now when it's 3rd and 8 instead of you're used to 3rd and 1, we're just gonna run it again. That's what's going to put Michigan State in jeopardy. So if I was them, I'd come out hard trying to first play the game, try and get deep, try and get Naylor or Reed deep and trying to beat Michigan's corners, which are, in my opinion, the weakest part of the defense, right? I mean, the D-line's very good. The linebackers are good. You have a couple good playmakers in the secondary, but overall, We have struggled. We've lost a couple guys. We're getting some pass interference. I think the biggest thing that happened last week, and I want to hear what you have to say about it too, is DJ Turner getting a start over Vincent Gray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I mean, that was one of the best picks I've seen in a long time. I mean, he tipped it to himself. I mean, like, oh, he must have played a little basketball back in the day. You know, that was such an athletic, coordinated play. I mean, this guy, you know, used to be up in the lab or something. But I can tell you, Northwestern, it sucks that we had to play them the week before, but I do think it gave the corners confidence. I'll say that. I think they were able to really stay locked in on those receivers. They had the one big play that gave up the first play of the game on the sideline pass. That's exactly when Nebraska got us on those sideline passes. Michigan's been a lot better covering the middle. They had the one breakdown also against Nebraska where, well, let's just be honest, the Nebraska game, they had a lot of breakdowns in the second half. I think that was one of the better games I've seen called by an OC was Nebraska's in that second half. I mean, they did everything right as far as play calling. They also got away with a few things that we found out later on. But to go back to some of the things you were talking about, Michigan State show their ass against Nebraska and Indiana, where they prove they are not a very physical team on offense. I mean, that O-line could not handle the push that Indiana and Nebraska provided. And let's not forget, Michigan State had a pick six in the Indiana game. You take that away, they lose. And they also had a punt return for a touchdown. If you take away Nebraska being a bunch of boneheads, they probably lose that game as well. Those are two plays where it had nothing to do with the offense. It was just the other team sucks. I mean, Indiana, if you watch their game against Ohio State, wow. I mean, two things. Indiana's terrible. And, yeah, Ohio State is really strong. I mean, they pushed around Indiana up front. Like, Brent, Indiana's defense was shutting down Michigan State. Like, you aren't even going to get a first down five straight drives. That was incredible.
Yeah.
And Indiana,
were they scoring the first half? 0 points?
Yeah, I mean, Indiana.
The offense.
Yeah, I think what was the score at halftime? It was 10-7 Indiana, something like that, where Indiana couldn't capitalize.
I think, like, it was 9-7.
Yeah, it was 9-7. Three field goals. Yes. 9-7 because Indiana just isn't any good on offense. Their offense is terrible. I mean, they were so bad in that game because they can't run the ball because their running back coach left them. But, you know, the bottom line is Indiana coming into the year was – I thought we're going to have problems with them because they're so physical. You know, you have a guy like McFadden in the middle of the linebackers, and their corners, even though they've been banged up, are really good. I mean, those corners – locked down Reed, Naylor, and all those guys. Locked them down. And they had a couple big plays. And also, look, Thorne tried to throw a deep on them. They had a couple picks.
Yeah.
So, you know, Michigan State, if you're Michigan, you watch both those games and go, oh, yeah, we can do that.
They were able to get those picks, though, because they dominated their offensive line and they didn't have to bring more guys in the box to stop Walker.
Absolutely. You know?
They were able to sit back and say, go ahead, try and throw it deep.
Oh, absolutely. No question. Here's the thing. Like, both schools can look at game film from a couple games this year and go, ooh, we can attack that. Michigan State could absolutely look at that second half against Nebraska and say, wow, we could really get our running backs on wheel routes. We could do some play action quick throws over the middle. Their linebackers bite pretty hard. We might be able to get them over the top there. Here's the thing, though. Michigan State doesn't have a really good tight end. They can talk all they want how, oh, Tyler Hunt's great. Dude used to be a punter. You know,
who?
The dude from Nebraska, I forget his name, is a dog. That's one of their best receivers is their tight end. He's 6'9". He's a big-time player. He'll probably be in the NFL one day.
Yeah.
I don't think Michigan State has a full group. Like, if you shut down a few things, Brent, you're going to beat them. Like, they don't have this physical offensive line where they can bury you with long drives. They've got two receivers that are really good, and they got a running back that's really good. They got a quarterback, when he has time, has good touch on the ball. If Michigan just gets after the quarterback, stops the run, I think they'll be just fine. I think this is a game that they can win by two scores. But it's just, again, I hate this game because Michigan State's going to come out with a very good plan. And they're going to attack things that Michigan has struggled with this year. And a lot of it isn't that it isn't scheming. I just don't think our corners just aren't very good yet. Like, they're good at times, but we don't have LeVert Hill. We don't have Jordan Lewis. We don't have David Long.
Marlon Jackson.
We just don't have that. You know, DJ Turner is learning how to be a really good corner, and he will be. I like him. Jamon Green has really good moments and then just doesn't. Daxon Hill is really, really good. Him and Hawkins have been elite this year. They've been awesome. Yes. But Hawkins at times still isn't a great cover guy. Daxon Hill has been beat a few times. I mean, it's just – that's just where it is, you know. And that's my concern, Brent. It really is. Are there any other concerns you have on Michigan's side where you're like, man, that could really – that could easily be one of the reasons we lose?
Cade. I'm not lying. I mean,
I hear you.
I mean, Rutgers, right? I mean,
yeah.
He struggles with easy throws. He can't throw. He doesn't throw a good deep ball. and he just tries to play conservative. So if we get to 3rd and 7, it's probably going to be a little check down to Blake Corum, and Michigan State's going to say thank you, and they're all going to rally to the ball and get the stop after 6 yards. And then we're going to be put – we'll be forced to go for 4th and 1s around, like, our own 48. And these are the situations that I hate. Or get down to the red zone once again, and we can't score touchdowns. That's a problem. Great teams score touchdowns. Mediocre teams kick field goals. That's the difference.
No, that's a great point. I mean, you made some good ones as always. It is a concern, man. And when we get down there, teams know that really all we have is a running game. So what happens to me is, again, going back to what I said earlier, when J.J. McCarthy comes in and they design something that can give him a great, easy throw where he takes the lid off and we throw a 40-yard touchdown or 35-yard touchdown, that changes everything. Now we're allowed to be able to run the football and get in those lanes. And here's the thing. Blake Corum is the one guy on this team, the only guy. Haskins, you can argue it, but not really. Blake Corum is the guy where if we're able to pass the ball well and we play J.J. a little more and we get the right designs, Blake Corum can take it to the house. They had a couple runs this year where he got a gap and he was gone. Where Haskins is that bruising back. And look, Haskins leapt over the guy in Nebraska. This is one of the best plays I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was just so athletic and powerful. And I thought he was going to go all the way, but he just doesn't have that speed. Blake does. Blake Corum is the one guy on that offense that, you know, look out. You know, he's going to beat you and he's going to take it all the way. It is a worry for me that Michigan State has three guys that can do that. You know, Jaden Reed, Naylor, and Walker are three guys on their offense that when the ball is in their hands and they have room, they can go all the way. And I think it's going to come down to our front seven just wreaking havoc. But Michigan State is going to know that. And look, a couple times, even last game, what happened? We got so aggressive. They beat us with a couple screen passes, right?
Yep.
And Hall.
Screen and hard play action.
You know, and if you watch Michigan State this year, their best play, honestly, besides the flea flicker, is that simple, quick off-tackle PA. And then, you know, they're just throwing it. And it's either a quick out route the other side of the field or, you know, they're just Thorne's turning his back even. And he's getting a quick out to Naylor or Reed or Mosley. They've ran it all year. They don't run a whole lot of crazy stuff. It's pretty basic for them. It's flea flicker. That's their trick play. It's hard play action going deep, or it's hard off-tackle play action, and we're throwing a long out route. These are extended plays, by the way. These are long, extended 3-4 seconds, which what does that mean for us? We might be able to get there and go get him. Knock him on his butt a few times. Make him think about, oh, I can't just slowly fake hard play action and think it's going to be there. And then maybe he gets rid of it too early and we get a pick. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. We don't know. But I do know we've seen enough to know what Michigan State does, to know what Michigan does. I think if I have a crystal ball, which I don't, and I rubbed it and I said, what do I think's going to happen? I think Michigan's going to kick their ass. I really do. I think they're better. I think they're way stronger. They're more physical. And I think that finally Gattis and Harbaugh are going to get it right. And they're going to say, you know what? We've already played JJ a lot this year. Let's just design a couple, you know, big plays for him. Let's not forget, though, last year, I know last year is a total mess and doesn't count. We tried to get tricky in the red zone with Haskins. We don't need that.
No.
All we need to do is just physically and manhandle these guys because they're weak. They are not strong, Brent. They are a weak football team. They just got playmakers. They got some speed. They got some speed and they got some playmakers. This is a weak football team. You got to physically wear them down, beat them up, score a couple big plays to break their heart because they're front runners. When it's going well, they're hard to beat. When you knock them in the mouth and punch them and knock them down, they can't handle it. That was the way Michigan has beat them for years. You can't handle this. And in that second half, let's just grind. Let's grind them into the turf. Jimmy, let's go up 20-7 at halftime, and then the second half, let's just grind and grind and grind. I can see Jimmy picking his boogers and loving life when that happens. I mean, that's
stealing
what they did
their souls.
Yeah. Well, look at what they did to Northwestern in the second half. I mean, Northwestern's not a good football team. Those are still grown men, Division I football players, getting pummeled physically. I mean, Michigan's O-line is special this year, Brett. They really are.
That was with two backups.
Yeah. They're just so strong. I mean, they are knocking people down.
The difference this year is they're nasty.
Yeah.
They're mean and nasty, and that is what's winning us games right now.
Oh, and I don't see them being not mean and nasty this weekend, that's for sure, because they don't like the guys that they're playing. I mean, I've watched a lot of stuff with Michigan football, preview shows, breakdowns, whatever, and I think Sam Webb does a really good job. They break down offense and defense, and he comes out with the former DC coordinator, I think, or he was a part of the defensive staff years ago, Lance Bedford. I think I said it right, or Vance Bedford. Yeah,
Vance.
Yeah, Vance is awesome. I love listening to him. I want to shout out those guys. They're fun to watch. They really break it down so you guys can see. Like, if you guys watch Sam Webb, Michigan Insiders, when they break down the games, former OC Al Borges talks offense, which is always fun to listen to. Bedford was raving. I sent it to you, Brent, raving about Chris Jenkins, a young kid. And he took on two Nebraska O-linemen and basically said, I'm going to dominate you, and just punched him. I mean, just punched him right to the ground. And then made the tackle.
Have my money.
And then made the tackle. That, like, it's one thing to take down two offensive linemen, then get the tackle is like, oh my God. This front seven from Michigan, dude, Brent, they've been unbelievable this year. Nobody's really like breaking it down fully. They've got a ton of guys that are stepping up on that D line. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, there's been numerous guys stepping in. Ojabo, which, I mean, everybody kind of expected something out of. I don't think anybody expected him to be this good. And then between all the guys you're rotating inside, and they're just getting better. Most of them are young guys. Like, they're just going to get better, bigger, stronger, faster. I honestly think our front six, seven, depending on what kind of package we're running, I think they dominate the line. I think if Peyton Thorne's jersey is dirty at the end of the game, oh, we win big time. If he's clean from short, quick passes and getting the ball out, and I think we're going to be in some trouble, honestly. So the difference for me is, especially the first half, do we get touchdowns or do we get field goals?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a interesting thing to say, because I was thinking about that earlier when I mentioned it, and I said to myself, you know, we got to score a couple touchdowns in the first half. You know, we got to score at least two touchdowns and kick a field goal or two. Like, I would like to see a 20-10 or 20-7 lead going into halftime. And then when we come out in the second half, let's just push them right around. Let's dominate them physically like we have all year to every team we played, pretty much. Even Wisconsin, if you watch the second half, they were able to run the ball. It's hard to defend Michigan because they're so strong. You know, their offensive line and that defensive line just don't get enough credit. Like, the DNs get a lot of credit. You know, we're talking about Hutchinson every week, right? But when you really watch this team, their interior defensive line is really good too. And, you know, guys like Hinton and Jeter – and Jenkins, and I always forget. Yeah, I mean, my gosh, Mozzie is a dog.
Yeah.
And you know, Mozzie is a beast. And then Mike, I always forget, is what's with the number 90. Always forget his name. He doesn't get talked about. His first name's Mike. Hey, Mike. Mike, you're really good. You're doing a great job. We haven't even talked about Taylor Upshaw this year much. You know, like, I don't see him. I don't think he's played a lot. Like, that's one thing I have to, like, look back on. Like, football people that are really into it, like, we're like basketball guys that have a whole lot of knowledge with football. Like, I don't hear Taylor Upshaw being mentioned much. I know he's been in some games, But Ojabo is so good, and Hutchinson is so good that you just kind of don't hear about anyone else. Junior Colson's been great this year at linebacker. He's kind of playing on the edge also sometimes. He's kind of coming in. He's playing in the middle sometimes. Josh Ross has been absolutely fantastic this year.
Monster. Just a monster.
Good luck crossing routes. I mean, jeez. Talk about the lumber. And he's got the neck brace on, which I love. After he gets the stinger, he goes, I'm going 80s old school neck brace with a little new school flavor. And you know, dude, oh my God, he just drills you. And by the way,
you might as well call him Mac from the program.
Oh gosh. Well, don't say that. Mac had a rough ending.
Hey, we're not talking about that.
We're not playing Iowa this year. talk about a memory. You're talking Mac in the program getting his knee busted against the Hawkeyes. Well, we're not. Thank God we're not traveling to Iowa City this year. It's not been a very fun place. I'm excited, though, man. I am excited. I mean, Brent and I are just – we just bring each other's phone up and just try drives Brent's family crazy. I just get so angry. We know what the problem is. We know we're not punching it in the red zone good enough. We know that we need to play JJ a little more and have something designed for him. We know that there's some things that we've given up on defense that are worrisome. But I just think we come out there and we just smack these little Sparties right around. I mean, I really do. I think Michigan is – this is different too, Brent. And I want to say this. Although it matters a lot to Michigan State and matters more probably – Michigan State. You know, they really hate Michigan State. They haven't had a game this year where they're going in. Like, we're knocking people around like they stole something from us. Now we have Michigan State in front of us. I can only imagine the front seven. Oh, really, Naylor? You want to go over the middle? Oh, I hope you do.
Oh, that's a 187.
I want Phillips. You know, I'll take 15. Well worth it. I mean, honestly, like, this is one of those things. Like, we've seen it a little bit where it when Harbaugh came. Like, there was a little bit of that. Michigan was going to do a couple things extra, right? Like, they were hitting a little harder, and there was some penalties. I think what year was it? I think it was the year when they stunk it up. In 2016 when they sucked and then we had a couple late hits, didn't we, or something like that, where I feel like it's just happened more now, right? I'm not going to lie, man. If they want to get chirpy and they want to push us in the face mask, just punch them right back. I'll take it. You know, like, I'll take one penalty this game. And you know it's going to happen, Brent. You know it is. There's going to be a unsportsmanlike on us. Those little trolls are going to punch us with their little jab, and we're going to just go, wham, not today. And we're the flags are going to come flying out, and me and you are going to be pissed. But I'm just going to say it now because I know it's going to happen. Well worth it. 15, well worth it. You know, no targeting. Just put that hand right in that face mask. Like, oh, Jalen Naylor, you think you're tough? My name's Brad Hawkins. Wham! Right in the face. I mean, that's what I want. I want one of those penalties, Brent. I really do.
It's a tone setter.
Yeah. Like, I just want to let you know I haven't even tackled you yet. Like, that's what it's going to feel like. I mean, we're not going to talk again. Let's do a prediction of score, and then we'll call it a day. I mean, I think we might as well. We won't be able to get on another show until next week. Give me your prediction.
27-10.
Michigan.
Yeah.
27-10. I like it. I've been going back and forth, man. It's so hard.
I had to put a couple field goals in there.
Oh, yeah. It was just Jake Moody. By the way, Jake Moody just said last week, look, guys, I just want to humble myself. I just want to boot one over to the right and just miss one because I'm so perfect. I don't think Jake will have any problems with confidence. That kid's been rock solid ever since he's been there. We went to the game. He had five field goals, remember, against Indiana, yeah. I think. No, actually, that wasn't the game we went to. That was 2 years after. That was 2018 when we were, you know, our next game was, don't want to talk about that one. This is a tough one for me. I know what those Yahoos do. They just figure it out, and I worry that they'll make a big play. But I don't think that it will be very often. I think it might be one big play, and that's it. So I'm with you, kind of. I think Michigan's going to win 31-17. I think it's just going to be one of those games where we're just better. We were the better football team the way it started. And I think the Nebraska thing, you know what helped us with that, Brent, is they did get us down, and we handled it well. I liked that. I liked the fact that we handled it also in the fourth quarter. You know, where we were down going in, I'm going, man, we haven't seen this yet, right? What's this team going to do? That team proved we can get down and things look really awful. And, oh, by the way, when everyone thinks, oh, they got the ball last, they're going to win, we'll get a strip or something, right? I mean, that was just
– right.
That's a guy saying, screw this, we're winning the game. Brad Hawkins, shout out to him again for that, because I did not feel good about that, Brent, that last drive. Nebraska getting the ball. I could picture it all coming to an end there. And, you know, them scoring or tying it up and us going to overtime, and I was not confident. Brad Hawkins doing that was basically saying, no, hell with that. We're winning this game. He wants to run. I'm stripping the ball. I think that was good for this team. I think that's what we'll – if our predictions are wrong and it gets close, I have confidence that Michigan can still win the game. Where last year and a couple of years, I have not felt that way. So I do think that's something to know. I mean, and let's end on that. Do you feel that with this team? Like, there's a different culture. They talk about it every day. That no matter what happens, though, this team can still win against Michigan State, even if they play well.
Yeah, I mean, they're resilient, and they know what. And most of these guys were there last year when they were terrible. Nobody wants to go through that again. But it's whatever it takes, right? It's whatever it takes to win. They're going to do what they have to do. I have a tough time seeing Michigan State get into the 20s. I really do, because I mean, they had a pick six against Indiana and still scored what, 20?
Yeah.
Like, I know Indiana's defense. Nebraska completely shut them out the entire second half. Like, I mean, I feel like we're going to, there's just going to be too much physicality, and Thorne's going to be on the ground a lot. And there's going to be nowhere to run for Walker. I just have a hard time seeing them get into the 20s. So
that's how Michigan I feel about playing, it. Yeah, you know, I'll end on this. Michigan playing Wisconsin does matter. When you play a team that physical, you're ready for whatever. When you play against a team like Nebraska, they have some playmakers. So they're ready for Michigan State in some areas. They haven't seen the speed Michigan State has, but they have seen the physicality times 100 against Wisconsin for sure. Also, they had a very tough road game at Nebraska. That matters. You know, Michigan State, talk about a cakewalk schedule. I mean, when you look at their schedule, their hardest road game, Indiana. You can say whatever you want. Miami, we went. That is not a hard road game.
Indiana, 2-5.
Miami sucks. And the toughest road game, like Michigan State, good luck in Columbus. I mean, that is going to be a bloodbath. And you know, and then that's the other reason why I go, just beat Michigan State, because Ohio State is going to pummel Michigan State. Every single thing that Michigan State does well, Ohio State can counter it. I mean, we got big play passing. Like, they've got guys that will just shut it right down. You know, your O-line. I mean, Michigan, in my opinion, is the second strongest team in the conference. Like, I think physically they're the second strongest team. Watching Wisconsin, even, I think Michigan is point of attack, push from offense and defensive line overall. I think Michigan's the second strongest team. What I seen with Ohio State, Brent, like, look, sorry, Sparty. You guys really ain't that important to us. I watched Ohio State against Indiana last week. I didn't like what I seen. I did not like what I seen at all.
Very scary.
Physically punished Indiana. And that's a team that physically punished Michigan State. Like, that's not good. Like, have you watched Ohio State this year much, Brian? Like, I have not. Yeah. Like, I rewatch them. So I guess I watch them. Like, I don't watch the game live. You know, they're freaking good, man. They're so good.
Yeah, they were making a big deal about them not being able to run the ball in Oregon. And in the third quarter, they showed the stats. They're averaging 5.5 yards a carry. I'm like, that's pretty good. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
What the hell? Are you guys Spartan fans saying this? Probably. The thing that Ohio State does, you know, I had this argument with one of our friends, and I won't name him because he's a Buckeye. I just don't want to give credit. He made a good point. I just wanted to fight the powers, you know, and I was like, no, that's not what it is. Well, he was right. He said the biggest difference with Ohio State is not the fact that, yes, they have the playmakers. He said that their O-line and D-line dominates everybody else. Watching the Indiana game again, he was right. I mean, they would have base runs, Brent, between the guard and tackles where the running back just ran through and was untouched. I mean, these are basic run plays where their O-line says, turning you this way and I'm turning you that way. And there's the lane, bye-bye. And it happened multiple times. And when they go back to pass, Jesus, how much time is the guy going to have to throw?
That's been the biggest difference, is that when Stroud was really struggling, they were getting pressure on him. And when he gets pressure on him, that's he gets his happy feet and throws it high. He's been clean for, what, 5 games in a row?
Yeah. That O-line is getting extremely confident right now. I don't think there's a team – like, Penn State will be big this weekend. Like, I want to add that also. Like, sorry we're extending this, but this is what Brent and I do. We give you more. I want to see Penn State get to the quarterback this weekend. Because as bad as Penn State looked last week, they're still really strong also. Like, I compare them to Michigan a lot. You know, they have a really good D-line. They don't have a star in Hutchinson per se, but they got some really good players. I want to see them get after C.J. Stroud a little bit and see what happens and see if they kind of go backwards on that end. If he's dropping back, Brent, and it's 1,001, 1,002, 1,003.5.
It's over.
Touchdown. I'm worried.
With those wide receivers, it's over.
You can't give them 3 seconds.
No.
You know, 1,001, 1,002, someone needs to be in his face. And this dude is dropping back 1, 2, 3.5. I chuck it. And that is not fun when you're the other team, when they have elite wide receivers. And it's like, you got to engage 6 guys against that offensive line. And those 6 guys, someone's got to get there. And it's like, it doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't. And, you know, Michigan, look, man, I mean, we'll talk a lot about Ohio State in the next few weeks. Get by Michigan State if you're Michigan. I don't think Penn State's unraveling. I don't know what the hell's going on out there. I don't know if it's coaching change talk or what's going on. You know, Penn State's a weird team, right? They just
– Well, Clifford wasn't right. I mean, he came back, but he wasn't right.
Yeah. So you watched a little bit more of that. You seen what happened then?
Yeah, when he came back, when he was playing, like, you could tell that he wasn't the same guy from a couple weeks before he got hurt at Iowa. You know, missing some throws. And it was really bizarre because in most of, like, in all those overtimes, like, the only guy that could rival Olave being Dotson, they didn't even look to give him the ball. Like, the play calling was just really weird. They're trying to throw it to Clifford in the flat. Like, why are you? You have one of the best receivers in the Big Ten, arguably the nation. Give him an opportunity, and they wouldn't even throw it to him. So
that's not smart. Yeah,
no. So kudos to Brandon Peters for coming in like the eighth overtime and winning the game.
Oh, I think he beat another team not too long ago, and one of our friends was in attendance. I think it was in Michigan also. Shout out to Brandon Peters just destroying those trolls from East Lansing. I think that wasn't that the comeback of the century. God, I love it. You know, we didn't get no basketball talk today, but by the way, good luck, Spartans. You know, you guys suck. I mean, dude, I get to the point. Look, man, Michigan State people have drove me nuts the last 2 months. It's the front runner attitude. And I'll say it again. Devin Gardner said it. That ain't blue collar. That ain't blue collar. And it's not. I mean, these guys roam around and talk like their team has won. Like, I had a fight with multiple people about the March Madness thing. And they were trying to fool me. And I thought, maybe they are fooling me. Maybe I'm losing my vision. I'm getting a little older. Maybe I'm not seeing this right. No. Michigan's won 21 games in March. In March Madness NCAA tournament in the last 10 years. Well, the Spartan fans have to make new stats up all the time because they're really good at that. They're not good at counting, but they're good at coming up with these made-up stats. So they came up with this, well, that's we didn't have the one tournament because of COVID. So, well, how do you know you guys would have won? Middle Tennessee State kicked your ass the 1 year. I mean, how do you know you would have won?
That's how I know.
You know, I mean, how do you really know you would have done well? I mean, let's just be honest. Syracuse ring a bell, second round. Middle Tennessee first. Come on. But I made a point. Even if you guys went back, I think it was 10 tournaments, it's the same amount of wins. So 10 years, Michigan has 21 tournament wins. Michigan State has 17. So this is just a stat, and it'll lead us into our next show. If you add the last 10 tournaments and you don't take, you know, because of the COVID year or whatever, in 2010, Michigan State made the Final Four. So they won four games. So they had the same amount of wins in the tournament since 2010. I tried to explain that to the Spartan fans. They thought they won something. I said, well, we're even then. What do you mean? It's a tie. This is your guys' your baby. Like, basketball is your baby. I'm telling you, it isn't. It isn't anymore.
You know, Mr. February, Mr. January?
Right. Mr. Regular Season is what I call him. You know, I mean, let's just be honest, man. I mean, this rivalry in basketball is going to be fun this year because Michigan State stunk up the joint last year. And all they have to brag about is they lost to the same team we did in the tournament. They didn't they forgot that we made it, you know, four levels further and won the Big Ten Conference. You know, but, you know, whatever. It's hard explaining things to these guys. But, you know, look, it's a rivalry. It's going to be fun this weekend. Like, I just dread it because it's a no-win, man. You know, you beat them, and they got excuses. If they win, the world ends. I mean, God, it's just the worst feeling losing to State, man. It really is. I'll let you end, Brent, on talking about that because – God, and then we'll get out of here because we always do a long show. I can't do it, man. I can't handle Michigan losing to State in football.
It's terrible because that's all we ever hear about every day. They could literally – I mean, that's the game that makes their season, and that's all they ever talk about. They don't care about stats. They don't care about this and that. It's we beat you. It's like, oh, yeah, you did. So – it's terrible. I hate it, and I hate them. And touchdowns, not field goals.
Yes. Well, Brent, touchdowns, no field goals, and a little bit of JJ mixed in. Please and thank you. But, yeah, this was fun again. Brent, we'll get back on. We got basketball coming up soon, too, man. We got November 6th, I think, is the first game next weekend. So we'll definitely have a lot to talk about there. We're going to talk a lot of Michigan basketball this year and Detroit Pistons, me and Brent, but football is still kind of priority. We'll get back on after this game. So thanks again, Brent, for always joining me on the lab. This is basically what we'll do on these Michigan shows, everyone. Make sure you tune in, Life of Ball Podcast. Go on Spotify. Give a share, comment, like, do all those things. We love it when you do that. And go Blue, Brent. And I know that we'll be messaging back and forth throughout the game.
Hopefully about, oh, my God, to see JJ.
Oh, my God, they sacked Peyton. He's dead. That's what I hope. Oh, my God, Hutchinson killed him. I hope he's okay, sort of. You know, that's kind of where it will be. But, all right, thanks for everyone for listening again on the Life of Ball Podcast. This was a Michigan episode. We'll get back to Michigan basketball and recap Michigan beating Michigan State, hopefully, next week on the show. Thanks for tuning in.